darkness between Hannah and Caravaggio as they walk in the garden. Now he begins to talk in his familiar, slow drawl. It was someone's birthday party late at night on Danforth Avenue, the Nightcrawler restaurant. Do you remember, Hannah? Everyone had to stand and sing a song. Your father, me, friends. And you said you wanted to as well, for the first time. You were still at school then, and you had learned the song in a French class. You did it formally. Stood on the bench, and then one more step up onto the wooden table between the plates and the candles burning. Allons enfants. You sang out, your left hand to your heart. Allons enfants. Half the people there didn't know what the hell you were singing, and maybe you didn't know what the exact words meant, but you knew what the song was about. The breeze from the window was swaying your skirt over so it almost touched a candle, and your ankle seemed fire-white in the bar, your father's eyes looking up at you, miraculous with this new language, the chords pouring out so distinct, flawless, no hesitations, and the candle swerving away, not touching your dress, but almost touching. We stood up at the end, and you walked off the table into his arms. I would remove those bandages on your hands, Hannah told him. I am a nurse, you know. Oh, they're comfortable, like gloves. How did this happen? I was caught jumping from a woman's window. The woman I told you about, who took the photograph. Not her fault. She grips his arm, kneading the muscle. Let me do it. She pulls the bandaged hands out of his coat pocket. As she loosens the bandages, he steps backwards, the white coming out of his arms as if he were a magician, till he is free of them. She walks toward the uncle from childhood, sees his eyes hoping to catch hers to postpone this, so she looks at nothing but his eyes. His hands held together like a human bow. She reaches for them while her face goes up to his cheek, then nestles in his neck. What she holds seems firm, healed. He raises his hands up as if to cup the quarter moon. They removed both thumbs, Hannah. See? They handcuffed me to the table legs. When they cut off my thumbs, my hands slipped out of them without any power. Like a wish in a dream. They moved towards the house under the trees. When they came into the house, the English patient was shouting. Hannah let go of Caravaggio and he watched her run up the stairs. The voice filled the halls. Caravaggio walked into the kitchen, tore off a section of bread and followed Hannah up the stairs. When he stepped into the bedroom, the Englishman was staring at a dog. The dog's head angled back as if stunned by the screaming. Hannah looked over to Caravaggio and grinned. I haven't seen a dog for years. All through the war I saw no dog. She crouched and hugged the animal, smelling its hair and the odour of hill grasses within it. She steered the dog towards Caravaggio, who was offering it the heel of bread. The Englishman saw Caravaggio then, and his jaw dropped. It must have seemed to him that the dog, now blocked by Hannah's back, had turned into a man. Caravaggio collected the dog in his arms and left the room. He poured some water into a bowl for the dog. An old mongrel, older than the war. He sat down with the carafe of wine the monks from the monastery had given Hannah. It was Hannah's house, and he moved carefully, rearranging nothing. He noticed her civilization in the small wild flowers, the small gifts to herself. Even in the overgrown garden he would come across a square foot of grass snipped down with her nurse's scissors. If he had been a younger man, he would have fallen in love with this. He was no longer young. How did she see him, with his wounds, his unbalance, the grey curls at the back of his neck? He had never imagined himself to be a man with a sense of age and wisdom. They had all grown older, but he still did not feel he had wisdom to go with his ageing. He crouched down to watch the dog drinking, and he rebalanced himself too late, grabbing the table, upsetting the carafe of wine.